everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's July 2025, and you're listening to episode 454, which is a conversation about crystals. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Medenwalt, who is an assistant professor in the Business and Economics Department at Northwestern College in Iowa. She is also the author of the 2024 book, Bridge Building Apologetics. Lindsay holds a master's degree in apologetics and ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a master's in public administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an exclusive online feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Crystals, Vibrations, Energy, and Healing Power. You can read it for free at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you back on the podcast.
Hey, Melanie. So glad to be here.
Well, as I noted, today we're going to talk about crystals. And a long time ago in the Christian Research Journal, decades ago, we did talk about crystals and healing, especially people who, you know, nurses and things like that use that, and these objects. But it's kind of made a resurgence. It did seem like an interesting kind of artifact that people who are into the New Age movement in the 60s and 70s were into. But again, Lindsay has found for us over the last several years that because of social media and TikTok and YouTube and all these places, there's really a resurgence in people having interest in crystals. So that might sound vague to some people. They might not know what that is. So let's start our conversation by defining crystals. What exactly are crystals as you're talking about them in this article?
Right. So I think we could start at the beginning. Crystals are basically rocks, right? So this is the idea of us going to a museum and looking at gems and seeing the sparkly things. The word crystal itself is from the ancient Greek words krustalos, which means ice and rock crystal, and kros, which means icy cold or frost. And so if you think about like a snowflake, for example, that technically qualifies as a crystal, even though it's not a rock, because it's got certain dimensions that cause it to be sparkly, which is not technically a scientific term, but I think listeners will relate to that word. It's any solid material that has atoms that are arranged in a particular pattern and their surface reflects their symmetry. So if you think of a diamond, which a lot of listeners probably have in their homes via, you know, engagement rings, or any sort of gemstone that might be in a piece of jewelry, that's a crystal. Kids, like I have kids, they would describe crystals as pretty stones with cool designs. And so that's kind of what a crystal is scientifically. I'm not a scientist, but that is what science says about crystals.
So on the one hand, they're like gemstones, but as part of your research, you went to some stores that are specifically crystal shops. That's probably for different reasons, kind of having more like beliefs attached to them. And what did you find when you went to those particular stores?
Yeah. So I don't know about you or the listeners, but as a kid, I collected rocks. I think this is a pretty common hobby amongst kids. One of my daughters used to bring home rocks a lot. And I went to rock shops when I was a kid, and they were stores that had a bunch of rocks in them. And there wasn't anything spiritual about going to these rock shops. It literally was just a store that sold rocks. But that's not the kind of shop that I went to when I was researching for this article. Rock shops really don't exist all that much anymore. If you're driving around looking for a rock shop, you're probably not going to find it. And if you search on the internet for rock shops, what will likely come up is actually New Age shops. And so that's kind of what I visited when I was researching for this article. One of them was outside of Denver, and it sold crystals, but it also offered things like tarot cards, which we've talked about before, incense, smudging items, and more. I want to define smudging for you, Melanie, because we haven't really talked about that all that often, but smudging is a Native American and indigenous practice that was used for cleansing the spirits or purifying physical spaces from negative energies that might exist in the air. And so smudging has become quite popular amongst New Agers, and they're usually just bundles of herbs and other things tied together with string, and then you burn them. And that is supposed to clean the energies around you. I also visited a New Age shop in the mall in Dallas at one point, and I found that they offered very similar items. So I just started browsing the crystals. And one of the things that I noticed right away were the descriptions. When you're in a natural history museum and reading about gems and stones, you might find descriptions that are about where you find those crystals or about their colors or information about how rare they are. Or maybe, like, I went to Washington, D.C. in seventh or eighth grade, and we stopped at the Smithsonian Natural History Museum. And one of the gemstones that they highlight there is the Hope Diamond. And the description there included, hey, this is more than 45 carats, and which is massive for a diamond. And it's got this blue-violet tone that can only be found in a certain place. And that's the kind of description you would expect when you're reading about gemstones. But I found that the descriptions in the shops were different because they focused on the power that the crystals held.
That is very interesting, because I think kids collecting rocks don't normally think of those rocks having any kind of supernatural powers. So, you know, you just talked that, you know, that they might have specific powers, or people believe them to have powers. What do you mean by powers? Because, like, again, you go to a gem store, you go, you know, panning for those stones, like, you know, on your field trip in elementary school. I don't think we normally associate powers with crystals.
Right, unless you're watching movies. So have you ever seen the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Melanie?
I actually haven't seen that, surprisingly.
So that one came out in 2008, and I just recently have been rewatching it, partially because of this article and this discussion we're having. But in that film, which not a lot of people loved, but I'm an Indiana Jones fan, so I think it's great. The crystal skull that they were searching for was said to contain psychic powers and would give whoever had it telepathic powers. And although that's a movie, there are people in real life who believe that, right? The movie has sort of gleaned information from reality. What do people think about these things? Oh, they believe crystal skulls have certain powers. Well, crystals have powers according to certain people like New Agers. As I was walking through these crystal shops in Denver and Dallas, I actually wrote down and took some photos of the descriptions because some of them are kind of confusing and I wanted to learn more about what the claims were. So I'll tell you a couple of the descriptions and then we can talk about what they mean. But for the rose aura quartz, which is just a pink crystal, it said that it's a master healer and stimulates the immune system. So if you're sick, this is the one you want to carry around. It's also helpful for love energies of the higher planes. So higher planes, Melanie, are these places that are beyond the physical existence, and they're usually associated with things like higher consciousness or divine reality, which, again, these are all New Age phrases that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, but I'm hoping that as we talk about them more today, people will have a better understanding of them. The blue aura quartz that I saw, and it's just a blue crystal, apparently it's known for eliminating all of the negativity in your mind. It's said that it contains a high vibrational tone and it's connected to the throat, third eye, and crown chakras of your body. Okay, so that's a lot to define. But the third eye, if you've seen maybe Doctor Strange, the film, you'd be familiar with the third eye, but it is often described as this metaphorical eye that is in the middle of somebody's forehead that allows for inner vision or spiritual insight beyond what your actual eyes can see. Chakras are the energy systems within your body, and they're said to be interconnected with your physical body, your emotional body, and also your spiritual body. And then the other one that I was interested in, because it was pretty, is the lapis lazuli, which we will talk about a little bit more, but it said that it could guard against psychic attacks. So that's similar then to what I talked about with Indiana Jones, right? So it contains psychic powers. So this particular stone, the claim is that it will protect you against psychic attacks. Melanie, one of the things we were talking about before we got onto recording this was this idea of vibrations. So I would like to clarify a little bit about what we mean when we say vibrations. When you hear a New Ager say vibrations, they are talking about this energetic state that is within a person or an object or even your thoughts. And the idea is that as you become a healthier being, both physically and emotionally, and also spiritually, I suppose, your vibrations get higher, and that allows you to get to that higher plane we just talked about, this realm of divine reality, this higher consciousness. The reality is that science tells us everything in the universe has some sort of vibration. This is physics, right? This is when you hear Nikola Tesla quotes about vibrations. He's not talking about New Age ideas of vibrations. He's talking about the fact that in physics, all matter is composed of these particles that are constantly in motion, and that motion is a vibration. And so Nikola Tesla is often used by New Agers or proponents of people who use crystals for energy healing or whatever as this proponent of New Age ideas. And he wasn't, as far as I can tell. They're cherry picking certain quotes from him. But in my research, I stumbled upon this article, very short article on the Christian Research Journal page, which I do spend a fair amount of time on. And I found a very short article by the former editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. And in it, he talks about these electronic frequencies that exist in everything. And he says, but occultists assume that those electronic frequencies must also be good for transmitting psychic frequencies. So they've made this connection that somehow the energy that exists in all of us is good for harnessing healing and spiritual growth and protection. And they use crystals to help them do that better. And so I think the biggest confusion to kind of clear up here is just because something has a vibration or is moving constantly, which physics tells us we all are if we're made up of atoms, that doesn't mean that the energy is helping you in some way or that the crystals that you're using to harness that energy are actually working.
As you know, the Christian Research Journal is now a free online publication, but there are some times that our team feels that it warrants a full print issue when we want to bring to you the fruit of in-depth research on a particular subject matter. And so something like that is about to be published. It is a 100-page in-depth issue only focusing on the primary research that we have done on the Eastern Lightning Cult, which it's a complete expose of this cultic group, and even back Well, I'd say a decade ago, we noted there were more than 4 million people worldwide following this group. And our president, Hank Hanegraaff, has done a very deep dive with primary research going to China a number of times to research this group, to talk to people who are impacted by this group. And what this group is a group that worships a woman who says that she is the incarnation, the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Now that seems pretty incredible. You will not want to miss this special issue. To receive this very special in-depth 100-page special print edition of the Christian Research Journal, please go to equip.org. And if you scroll down, you will see gifts for your donation, and you will see a cover there that says The Eastern Lightning Cult, Christ Returns to Earth as Female. You will not want to miss out on this exclusive issue that is 100 pages of exposing this cultic group that has done much damage and has influence worldwide. So it's a special print edition of the Christian Research Journal that you won't want to miss. And now back to my conversation with Lindsay Medenwalt about New Age crystals. Well, there are different kinds of people that use crystals, and we've mentioned a bunch New Agers. And so, first of all, let's define that term. When someone says someone is a New Ager, what are you referring to? And then how do New Agers use crystals?
Well, New Agers are, there's a lot of different definitions you could come up with for who a New Ager is. A New Ager is somebody who has particular views about the universe and reality. Their worldview is generally a compilation of Eastern worldviews. So you see kind of a mix of Hinduism and Buddhism and other religions that kind of help New Agers come up with their worldview. But it draws from a variety of sources, including naturalism and astrology, and even, they won't probably like me saying this, but science fiction, right? So a lot of New Age beliefs are kind of aligned with what we see in science fiction. And I don't think that's super surprising for anyone to hear. But New Agers are a separate worldview from other religions. It's sort of a, I used to say it's kind of a choose your own religion, but I think it's more nuanced than that. The more that I research it, I think there are some general ideas held by New Agers where they find agreement and then they sort of pick and choose from there. So not all New Agers are going to use crystals, for example, but they might all believe that energy is coming up from the universe and that we should be trying to achieve a higher consciousness. The means of getting there might be different depending on the particular New Ager. As far as, you know, what they use crystals for, if they choose to use crystals for anything, the two things that I find most interesting, that folks might find most interesting, are crystal healing and crystal manifestation. I read a book called Crystals by somebody, her name is Jenny Harding. And she actually, I ended up having two books by her in my library by accident, not realizing that she had written the other one. But in the course of my research, I purchased a crystal set from Barnes & Noble. It was, you know, Barnes & Noble carries more than books these days. And they had a whole section on crystals. And I was intrigued. So I purchased a book on crystals as well as like a set of rocks. And it contained another book by her. But anyway, she talks a lot about healing powers of crystals. And she gives advice about how to get the most power out of your crystals. And one of the things is to wear the crystal close to your heart, because that's bridging the chakra between spirit and matter. And she says that by wearing the crystal above your heart, you're going to spread your energy throughout your auric field. It sounds very foo-foo, but basically what she's saying is, wear it closer to your heart and you'll get healed faster, because the chakra by your heart is connected to all of the other chakras in your body. There's no scientific evidence to show that healing happens with crystals. I looked at journals, I read articles, I tried to find evidence that would support the claims, but in general, the claims are called pseudoscience. And that means that they're not actual science. And yet, people will ardently argue with you and say, no, the crystal led to my healing. I saw a social media post by someone who claimed that she had a burn on her hand, and she read up on the types of crystals that help you with healing. And she held this crystal in her hand every day. And in 3 months, her hand was completely healed. And my brain was thinking, well, in 3 months, that would make sense because your body has time to heal and recover. Was it the crystal that was healing her, or was it just time and, you know, care, general care and taking care of your body? And so that's the kind of stuff that, you know, when you see claims like that, you have to ask yourself, okay, they're giving the recognition to this crystal, but in reality, it was probably time that healed, not the crystal itself. One of the things that I read about a lot with regard to crystal healing was the placebo effect. There was a researcher in the UK that ran this study where he told half of the participants the crystals would work and the other half that they wouldn't. And it turns out that most of them claimed that the crystals worked, but in the end, it was just the placebo effect. And this is pretty common. We hear about, you know, medical research done, and people who get the fake drug still claim that they were healed or that they feel better. This is, you know, they didn't actually get the active ingredient, but they feel better. How does that work? Well, it's their brains or their minds telling them that it actually worked. But the thing is, they're not actually being healed, even though they feel better. And that's the placebo effect. The other thing was this idea of manifestation. One of my favorite things that came out of the Christian Research Journal in the last couple of years was this article by Ann Kennedy about manifesting. And I think that one needs to be like the most popular article on the website because it is so critical people understand about manifestation. Manifestation is this idea that through the power of your own belief, you can think something into becoming reality. And people who subscribe to using crystals will say adding crystals will make this happen more quickly. So one New Ager that I found online said she believes that the different qualities of crystals can help her support her goals and actually gives her an energetic kick in the right direction. Okay, but how do you argue with that? In her mind, this crystal is working. Well, in science, there's no evidence to show that that works either, manifesting or using crystals to help manifest. Instead, how are you achieving your goals? Well, probably through hard work and dedication and perseverance. And it just happens to coincide with you putting a crystal in your pocket. And so I'm trying not to minimize too much what some of these people definitely believe, because I think it's important that we acknowledge like these are truly held beliefs by people, but they're being misled. And there are people on social media and the internet who are telling them, no, what you feel is real. And there's just no real evidence to support their claims at all.
Well, that's really interesting because when we think of this type of belief about crystals, we only, or at least I only think about New Agers. So are there other kinds of people in addition to New Agers who use crystals?
Yeah. So one of the things we talked about was how New Age has sort of drawn itself from various directions, right? So various sources, you've got Eastern mysticism and Buddhism and Hinduism and all sorts of isms, astrology, occultism, but it's very common in Hinduism and Buddhism to use crystals, and usually it's in respect to enhancing their spiritual practice. So they're using crystals to enhance their meditation or they're putting crystals on statues and altars, and they're wearing crystals as part of their spiritual practices because they believe that their crystals will promote positive energy and that it will help them have better meditation sessions. And it will deepen their spiritual experiences. And there are a lot of people who meditate, and there are many who will incorporate crystals into that practice. I found that people were using crystals in yoga practices and really just incorporating the use of crystals in all sorts of things. And what our listeners really need to understand is that the origin of those practices really is from this mysticism idea. It's Eastern mysticism, and it's firmly held beliefs, but it's not grounded in reality.
What about Christians? Do Christians hold to using crystals in any kind of creative way besides collecting gems? And if they do, why would they use crystals?
One of the more surprising things when I was going to seminary was I had a theology professor who was talking about some family members, and he referred to them as the crystal people. And I couldn't understand what he was talking about, and eventually he clarified, but he has Christian relatives who use crystals to achieve goals and to do other things. And I thought, well, that's got to be the minority. There can't be that many Christians who are using crystals. But then I started doing more research on this because these things are things that I really find interesting. And I discovered that there was a Pew Research poll that came out in 2018 that found that 37% of the Christian respondents said that they believe physical objects like crystals possess spiritual energy. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting. That's 37% of Christians. And, you know, it's physical objects like crystals. So it doesn't have to only be crystals. It can be other things. And I said, well, maybe that'll go down as, you know, time goes on, people will realize, okay, this is not, maybe this is just a fad. But then a poll came out in 2022. And this one was done by the Springtide Research Institute, and it was specifically of 13 to 25-year-olds, so young people. These are the people that are heavily influenced by social media. These are the people who are on TikTok, who are looking at Instagram, who are following Reels on YouTube. And it turns out that among people of faith, so I'll clarify that in a second, but people who claimed Christian orthodoxy, 73% of the respondents said that they used crystals and herbs as part of their religious practices. Latter-day Saints, what we commonly refer to as Mormons, 64% of them. And again, these are 13 to 25-year-olds. And then about 40% of the Protestants who responded said that they use crystals and herbs. And then another 36% who identified as just Christian, whatever that means, 36% of them said that they use crystals and herbs. So a few of those numbers might seem small to you, like the 37% or the 40%. But to put it in perspective, when you're sitting in church and you've got 100 people there, then that's 40% of the 100 would be how many? 40. 40 people who are in that church building with you might use crystals as part of whatever their spiritual practices are. That's a lot of people when you've put it that way. And I also, you know, found a lot of people online, a lot of Christians online, who talk about using crystals as part of their prayer life. One lady, she said, and it's not only women, I just happened to find a lot of women. There are men who also practice this, but one lady said that she's been using crystals at her prayer altar with her statue of Christ and picture of the Divine Mercy. So she kind of goes two ways here. She uses them symbolically for prayer intentions, right? But then she says that she arranges them in a sequence: rose quartz for love and peace, amethyst for calmness, and clear quartz for clear and pure thoughts. So on the one hand, she says that she's got the quartz there and she's got the other crystals there. as symbols to help her focus during her prayer time. But on the other, she is assigning particular powers to these crystals, right? She's saying that rose quartz is going to help with love. But this is where she's gone wrong. There's no evidence to show at all that these stones carry any special powers. Rose quartz isn't going to bring her love, and clear quartz isn't going to give you clarity of mind, right? There's no evidence for that. And what's more important, I think, for Christians is that the Bible isn't telling us that these crystals carry power either.
That is just so interesting that Christians use crystals. Now, where are they getting this from? Are they claiming that the Bible is allowing them to use crystals, or what does the Bible say about crystals, if at all?
Right. So let's talk about what the Bible says. And then I'll tell you some of the things that I read online from certain Christians who are supporting the use of crystals. So from the outset, Melanie, crystals are part of God's creation, right? Like, we can acknowledge that. We know that God created the world. Crystals are a part of it, and they're rocks. And lots of crystals are actually mentioned in scripture. So in Proverbs 8:11, for example, and maybe a lot of listeners will already know this one, but it says, wisdom is better than rubies, right? And I try to use that one a lot because I want to promote wisdom, but wisdom is better than rubies. Lamentations 4 talks about sapphires. We read about topaz in Job. Maybe most commonly known would be when we're reading about the Levitical high priest in Exodus, and we learn about the high priest's breastplate, which has a ton of crystals on it. It's got, I'm not going to read you all of them, but it's got things like turquoise and amethyst and topaz and jasper. And these crystals were mounted in gold filigree settings, right? And then God instructed the priests in Exodus to keep two special stones in their pockets called the Urim and the Thummim, which mean light and perfection. We don't know what those stones are for. The Bible doesn't really tell us much information about them at all, other than they were placed in the priest's pockets. But people have added sort of superstition to those stones and said, well, they were definitely used for divination or to communicate with God directly. But the Bible doesn't say that. And that's reading more into scripture that is there. The other thing we need to keep in mind is that the Bible warns us against superstition and the occult. So when we read about things like crystals, we have to recognize that crystals were never given powers in scripture, but God has declared the practice of the occult as what, you know, Deuteronomy 18 says, detestable, right? And witchcraft is named along with idolatry as ungodly behavior in Galatians 5. So the use of crystals and charms, amulets, those are actually part of the occult practice. Just because it's a Christian using it doesn't mean it's automatically become Christian at that point. The reality is that most people who are using crystals believe that those crystals have powers. And the danger that Christians get into then is that they are starting to idolize those crystals. And that is against what scripture tells us to do. So instead of relying on God for healing and protection, we're relying on these crystals. So instead of relying on the creator, we've begun to rely on his creation. And that is the danger zone for Christians. But then you find Christians who are trying to rationalize the incorporation of crystals in their lives. They'll say things like, well, the high priests kept crystals on their breastplates and in their pockets, so that's okay. And there's definitely power attributed to them. But again, we don't read about power attributed to crystals in scripture. Others actually think that crystals make Christians better Christians. I found one website where she said, in the hands of a Christian who desires to be a good person, crystals are agents for good and can intensify good desires. So now you're not relying on God to make you good and for you to find goodness within your desire to be obedient to the Lord. You're ascribing your goodness to crystals. she also talks about crystals being healers. And she says, if you've ever truly been sick, you understand that healing is healing, whether it comes from essential oil or surgery or pharmaceutical drugs or therapy or crystals, exclamation point. The thing to remember here is that healing and joy isn't coming from the stone. That's not, it's not working like medicine does, or it's not working like God does in our lives. There's no evidence to support that. And in this case, it's a Christian telling herself a lie. And frankly, our beliefs need to be grounded in reality. And this belief that crystals somehow hold magical powers is simply not grounded in reality.
So if the Bible has no teachings to say to use crystal for any kind of spiritual purpose or because it has specific powers in and of itself or emanating from them, why do all these Christians justify having these crystals and using them? Like you said, that one lady had different colors representing different things that she would be using them for.
Yeah, I honestly think that they've fallen prey to New Age ideas packaged as Christianity. And this is why so many people like myself and others who talk about the New Age are giving warnings about the church adopting New Age practices. And it's not just crystals, right? It's, we've talked about how some Christians, I think it's like 20-something percent these days, who believe in reincarnation. We talked about the quarter of Christians who believe in astrology. And believing in those things as Christians doesn't make sense, but they have somehow found a way to convince themselves that it's okay. And I think it's because, one, a lot of Christians don't actually know what the Bible says about things, and they're just believing whomever they're watching on social media. And two, we sometimes don't want to be told that we're wrong or that maybe our experience wasn't actually reality. So being told, hey, you're happier these days, and somebody says, oh, it's because I'm carrying this particular crystal in my pocket. Okay. Attributing that to the crystal is probably coincidence. But because you've been carrying the crystal in your pocket, along with maybe some really good things happening to you lately, you are giving the crystal more power than it actually has. And so I think churches need to be on guard. I would love to see pastors speaking out more regularly about these things to offer clarification to their congregations about what the Bible says about these things. I would love to see Christians talking to other Christians about what they know about these things or what they've heard about these things and having open conversations that are not grounded in conflict but are grounded in truth. So I think we need to stop rationalizing our beliefs, and we actually need to understand why we believe what we believe.
Is it okay for crystals to be in a Christian's home? Because again, you're mentioning these Christians that are using them. And of course, some New Age folks believe they have certain powers that for sure they would not attribute those powers to God. So should crystals be in the home if you think they have powers, or just in general? And then what are some things that Christians should consider about this subject, especially if they're being intrigued by perhaps a Christian view of manifesting or thinking that these things have powers to change their lives or change their character or something like that?
Yeah, this is such an important question, and I wish that people would consider the implications of the choices they make day in and day out. I imagine the listeners will suppose that I'll say no crystals allowed in anybody's homes based on the things that I've already said. But that's not the case. I do not wear jewelry very often, so I'm not often wearing crystals, but it's not because I don't support the use of crystals as far as like pretty things that you might use in your ears. I just don't wear a lot of jewelry. But there are some Christians who really draw a hard line here because they do not want to have any whiff of the occult in their home. And then there are other Christians who are like, hey, crystals in and of themselves are simply another part of God's creation. They're really beautiful. And I want to wear sparkly things. And I want to have crystals in my home as decoration. And so as a Christian, there are just a few things you have to think about, right? You need to say, hey, do I have a history with the New Age? Maybe you've come out of the New Age and this is, you've learned about crystals, you know about crystals, maybe you've used crystals. Perhaps crystals aren't the best decoration in your home. Maybe somebody in your family struggles with New Age and they probably shouldn't be around crystals. But ultimately, the question is, what are you thinking about crystals and potential powers they might have? And do your thoughts align with what the Bible says? And that is a really important question we should pose about the things that we do in our lives. We should ask ourselves if the things that we are doing are aligned with Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." If you know that you are susceptible to the New Age because you have practiced it in the past, or because somebody in your family has participated in it, or you think that there's power in objects that isn't actually there, you probably shouldn't have crystals in your home. Ultimately, you've got to protect your spiritual well-being as a Christian. And the way that you do that is through God Himself and guarding yourself through His word and making sure that you know it and you speak it over your life consistently. But for most Christians, it is probably completely fine to have crystals in your home as decoration or as part of what you wear in your jewelry.
So how could Christians respond when they know someone who's either Christian or not a Christian that is using crystals or is attracted to crystals and thinks that they have some kind of power to help them?
Yeah, I went to some websites in my research on this because I know a lot of people who've come out of the New Age and I wanted to know what they said and what their thoughts were on this topic. One was Melissa Doherty, who is a Christian YouTuber. Another is Marcia Montenegro and then Doreen Virtue. And all of them basically said you can have crystals in your home. But Marcia, I loved what she said because she was so clear. She said, as a Christian, I think the crystals are mere objects and harmless. It's the idea that they were supposed to have some kind of energy or power that I know is wrong. So the problem was the beliefs behind what the crystals represented, not the objects themselves. So she was encouraging people to view things in light of Scripture. The big thing that is the trouble spot for Christians and crystals is this idea of idolatry. And I've already said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it bears repeating. Scripture strongly forbids idolatry, this idea of putting things above God, worshiping God's creation, not Him. And so if somebody is struggling in your life, that's one of the things that we need to look at. Is this becoming an idol? And lots of people have idols in their lives. It's not just crystals. They go, ooh, you have crystals, you must have idols. I'm talking about things that take the place of God at all in our lives, whether that's sports or, I mean, I could name a bevy of things that humanity is interested in, movies, music, all the things that we do instead of reading Scripture or having an active prayer life or whatever. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy those things as a Christian, but the question becomes, are they becoming idols? Or are they replacing an active worship of God? If someone in your family struggles with these ideas, I would say you should probably not have crystals in your home because the Bible advises us not to help others stumble. Romans talks about that a bit. But then, you know, if somebody is in your life that you know well, who is using crystals for healing or manifestation or prayer, as in all things, we should respond with gentleness. I always encourage people to ask questions rather than to accuse. Ask them why they are using crystals and if they've considered what Scripture says about divination or the occult. Maybe it's appropriate for you to let them know what science says about crystals or doesn't say about crystals. You could offer them guidance about if they're looking for relief from physical pain or emotional stress, or they're trying to better their mental health, remind them that Christ gives us our freedom. It's not crystals. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And if we put this in the context of our conversation, idolatry is holding so many captive, and crystals are part of that. So I would encourage anybody who's listening, who's struggling with this, to be on guard against the things that you are idolizing, that are taking you away from following Christ completely, and be willing to take a hard look at the things that are in your life and ask yourself, does this align with Scripture? And if not, I contend that it needs to be removed.
Well, that's a very firm and thoughtful word for Christians on this topic. And now, on a much lighter note, I have a fun question for Lindsay. Lindsay, we have all kinds of very funky holidays in the United States. And just this last week, we had World Chocolate Day.
So yes, we did.
Dark chocolate or milk chocolate or white chocolate?
It absolutely depends on the mood, but generally it's dark chocolate with mint.
Mint chocolate. Well, thank you, Lindsay, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 454 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Lindsay Medenwalt. She has written an exclusive online feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Crystals, Vibrations, Energy, and Healing Power. You can read it for free without a paywall at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Handegraff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.